Hey, Toby.
Hey, Greg.
So we've been doing this podcast network thing for a long time.
Yeah, it seems like it.
And we're finally starting now to get a little traction under us.
Yeah, a lot of people are jumping on board to have some shows.
Big shout out to some of our shows here. My 1-2-3 Cents, a wrestling podcast based off of a blog site by the same name. Kevin Huntsberger is running that one. And you and Craig are back with a sports podcast off of another blog that you started years back.
Yeah, Seat Above the Stands. And if you're into anything local, high school related sports, we do that. National related stuff, we do that. And arguing. We really do that. So yeah, tune in.
Matt Horst has a gamer, and he's been updating that as his time allows. And he and his wife, Sierra and Zach, also have Popped Culture, and where they talk about books, and they talk about movies and action figures and all kinds of good stuff.
Absolutely. A lot of different areas covered. We can always have more, though.
And Nerd United.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I've been so grateful for everybody who's decided to join me on episodes of that show, and we're looking to keep going strong, and we're gonna have a busy 2015. We hope that everybody tunes in and takes the Jittery Monkey podcast along for the ride on iTunes, on Stitcher. You just gotta do a little search,
and it's simple. You subscribe to the network and you get every show, so you can listen to the ones you want and don't have to listen to the ones you're not interested in. And be sure to rate them, please, because when you rate them and leave a comment, it really does help. So do that.
Yeah, make sure you hit that subscribe button and leave your feedback. Make sure that you follow Jittery Monkey Podcast on Facebook, as well as Jittery Monkey on Twitter. Now, that's monkey with a U, because the other Jittery Monkey was taken and the other guy didn't want to free it up.
Nah.
Yeah, but we're busy, we're active, and we appreciate everybody who's joined us along this far.
Comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 33 of Nerds United. Perhaps more importantly than the number of the show is the episode, the content, which it contains. And this is, I've been hyping it, perhaps even overhyping it, I don't know, for about a month now. This is the Comics for Beginners episode, where you ask the questions and I, or somebody smarter than me, finds the answers. And we got some great questions. We got a lot of questions from a lot of different people from a lot of walks of life, I suppose. And I guess we could just jump it right into it, but before we did that, I thought that I should share something, maybe? I don't know. First of all, this is 2015, so Happy New Year! Secondly, I am drinking during this particular episode because I just got done calling a high school basketball game. Salem won. Cheers. Unrelated to that, my voice is crap right now. I know that what I'm drinking is not going to help it, but it is a Shiner, Shiner, Texas, and the brewery down there, the Shiner Holiday Cheer. It's a seasonal brew. I'm a big fan of it. I've just tried it for the first time on the recommendation of my buddy Rick. He says, man, you need to try this. Sure enough, boom, I like it. It's good stuff. So I got it while I could during the holiday season. And so we'll go from there. But yeah, so voice, if I pause for an extended period of time, if it goes quiet, that's just me moistening. No, that's not gonna sound right. That's just me taking a swig for the working man, as Stone Cold Steve Austin would say. And his a lot more popular than my podcast, but at the same time, he's got a name. You know, people say, oh, yeah, I know who Stone Cold Steve Austin is. Nobody knows who I am yet. Maybe someday. That's the dream. But anyway, what we did was we set this up, and my dog is actively trying to ruin my my recording. By the way, recording on the Nerd Dome Studio B, I guess. It's not the top-of-the-line stuff. I'm obviously sitting here on my phone, but I'm recording sitting on my bed.
with the dogs because we're party animals, man. But my wife is out in the front room watching Sons of Anarchy on Netflix. And rather than spend time with her and watch a pretty badass show, which I'll admit I didn't care for at the beginning, but I'm growing into it. No, I'm back here recording episode 33 Comics for Beginners for you because I care. Yeah. So what I did is I kind of opened up right there, second week of December. I said, we're going to do this Comics for Beginners. Get your questions in. So we got a question right off the bat. And I said, you know what? I acquired through an anonymous benefactor who chooses to remain anonymous. I acquired an array of DC in-the-box action figures. Not only are they in their original packaging, but they're in the box. It's all cardboard. You can't even see the figure. You got to take it out of the box. So I said, you know what? I'm going to give away some of these. Put the picture on there on the old Facebook banner picture or whatever is cover photo. Thank you. Thank you very much, slow working brain. So I changed the cover photo. I said, you know what? We're going to give away three of these bad boys. So I have drawn. Actually, I didn't draw. I put in my Green Lantern hat. Yes, I have a Green Lantern hat. Why is that surprising to you? What's surprising is that it probably didn't know it was. I think it's the Green Lantern from the movie. It looks like that lettering from the Green Lantern movie of 09. I don't care what anybody says. I enjoy that movie. I'm a mark. I don't care. I'm that's fine. It wasn't my favorite movie that came out that summer because Thor came out, and I appreciated Thor a little bit more. But for what it was, yeah, a lot of people poo-poo on it, but I liked it. So there you go. Maybe I just lost all my credibility. I don't care. I like the Green Lantern movie for what it is, and that is the first Green Lantern movie. So if you don't like it. So I've got the hat. The hat, and I'll have the picture on the website so you can see the hat. The hat has been through hell. A couple of years back, well, yeah, it would be. It would be 2013, first weekend of June, was my buddy's bachelor party. And so what did he want to do? Go play paintball. Well, I'd never played paintball before, so I went in what I think you're supposed to play paintball in, and that happened to be a black Green Lantern hat. And the hat, needless to say, is not quite so black anymore, and apparently one person really doesn't like Green Lantern because I remember taking a paintball right to the dome, right to the forehead. That was a nice bump for a couple weeks. But I digress. You'll see it. You'll see the paint splatter on the hat. But that was the hat. I figured that'd be a great hat to draw this drawing from. So at the end of the episode, of course, you'll hear all the questions. At the end of the episode, I'll tell you the winners. And then what we're going to do is I'll contact the winners, of course, off air. And I'll say, hey, you're first place, second place, third place. You've got, you know, first, second, and third choice on these action figures, and we shall go from there. But we got to get to some questions first, right? Oh, shut up, Lucky. All right, here, this is where it becomes fun because if I'm holding the phone or recording into the phone with one hand, I am sitting here scratching my dog Lucky, which is not a euphemism, by the way. It's my dog. Her name is Lucky, and If I stop scratching, really, this is the time you're gonna shut up? Oh, now she's shy. Oh, but you got some words? I'll make you famous, dog. Say something. That sounds, yeah, that sounds pathetic. Yeah, see, I knew she'd come back. But anyway, if I stop scratching, that's what's going to happen. So I will be going through these questions. I'll give a little bit of my answers along the way, but we're going to hear from the experts, so to speak. Right off the bat, I'll tell you that one of the questions, I could not find it when I was going through and looking for things. It happened to be from Jittery Monkey Podcast Network co-creator Toby Golian, who asked a question in the similar vein of two of our other questions, which we'll get to. This will be a great place to start. You start at the beginning, because that's what the question's about. Mike was our first question. In fact, Mike Luther was our most active question asker. But his question was, what comic book would you recommend as a good starting point? That question came in on December 11th. December 22nd, Adam Testa said, how logically is someone supposed to get into or back into comics without worrying about extensive research into back history as characters change so often? He said, for example, Doc Ock being Spider-Man, Captain America being Black, from what he has heard, 17 iterations of Robin, which may or may not have been an exaggeration, which is not exactly the two questions are not exactly the same. So I'll come back to Adams here in a minute. But Toby then asked, you know, what's a good starting point? How, you know, do you jump in the middle? Do you go to the beginning on a series? So it would have been the Saturday before Christmas. Yeah, all the way back then. I was over at Twilight Comics, Shiloh, Illinois, in the Deerberg's Target Plaza, wherever you want to call it there, and visited with – they were having their Christmas party. Rhiannon put it together, and we'll hear from her first. Then I'll visit, of course, with Brian for a few minutes about these questions, about where do you jump into, you know, where's a good starting point to get into comics. And you'll appreciate – that's a question they get all the time. They work in, she is an employee, and he owns and manages a comic book store, so they're no stranger to this question. They get it often, so we'll hear their answers, and then I'll come back with my thoughts. All right, Rhiannon, what is the first comic title you remember getting into when you first started getting into comics?
The first comic title I remember reading at all was Justice, and it was actually a graphic novel. I read the whole thing in one go, and that really kind of sparked me for comics, especially starting with Justice League. I watched the show as a kid, but I hadn't read anything prior to that. And Justice, the storyline, I thought was amazing. Alex Ross's art was amazing. So from there on, I would read anything Justice League, and then slowly branched out from there, like based on recommendations from friends and family, and that's kind of how I got the job here.
What would you... If someone was coming in here and they ask where, you know, I'd like to get into comics, where would you recommend I start? What's your answer?
That's a big question, and it kind of depends a lot on each individual person. It's how do you have any preferences for superheroes? It's horror versus adventure versus daily dramas. So each individual person is going to have a different answer from me in particular. kind of where I like to go is find out if they had anything liked as a kid. So say, if you like Captain America, I would bring you to the Marvel section. There are a lot of Captain America series going on right now. You could go with Avengers, Captain America, Winter Soldier even. One I read recently and really liked was Captain America. I think it was Neverending War or something like that. But it was really good. It was something, I was not a Marvel fan normally, but I really enjoyed that storyline. And then for DC, I always bring people to Kingdom Come, Justice, Batman would be Long Halloween for me. But I always like to go with the classics to bring someone in on. Something that's been established as a favorite, and then that I think will get them hooked.
All right, we're here with Brian Hillier, of course, the owner, proprietor, Twilight Comics, Shiloh, Illinois, Greenmount Crossing. And we're going to ask him the same question, but let's backtrack. I asked Rhiannon two questions. I'll ask you, Brian, two questions. Because the main question is, somebody starting out, you know, where would you send them? We got a really nice in-depth answer from Rhiannon, but we'll alter it because... you guys are in the business, so it's a little unfair. It's like you've been asked that question before. So let's start, and we probably answered this one when we sat down previously, but what's the first story, the first title, the first characters that you remember reading?
Before I was, like, full-on interested in comics, I remember reading Batman and Superman and Fantastic Four. Those were the three big ones that I recall reading before I... decided that I was a comic collector. You know, that your parents would take you out and, hey, there's comics. Here's some comics. So, yeah, it was Batman, Superman, and Fantastic Four.
So, obviously, you know, being in the comic book store business, as you have for a couple of years now...
Couple.
you get asked this question a lot. People coming in off the street, where's a good place to start? But I'm not going to talk to Brian, the owner manager. I'm going to talk to Brian, the comic book fan. Somebody, you know, maybe a friend of yours who's like, man, I haven't read comics in 10 years, 15, 20 years. Where can I go? What can I jump into to get me back on track?
Well, first of all, you have to find out if, and this, I don't know if I can separate the store person from the fan person, because, you know, it's very intertwined. But, you know, you find out, do they like superheroes, which is probably the obvious answer because of all the movies that are coming out. Do they, you know, is it somebody that would rather, maybe they've been watching Constantine, and they like the more supernatural stuff rather than, you know, people running around flying and punching each other. So, you know, you see which direction it is that they want to go. Then you say, well, do you want to start with just regular comics? Because it's going to be tougher to start out with regular comics if you want to start with a number one that may have come out 2 or 3 years ago. Do you want to go with graphic novels? And you have to tell them what... You have to find out if they want to go with a title that's been running for a few years, and if they want to get to fill in the graphic novels, if they're interested in Walking Dead, then you got 10 years worth of stories that people that are familiar with the TV show may not know exist. You have to find out, you know, do you want to like dabble and just get like one-off stories where you get a $20 book and that's the whole story? There's so many ways to get started, and it's tough to, you know, not have them glaze over with all the information that you can give them. So it's a delicate balance.
So there you have it. Two answers kind of in the same vein, and I threw in a bonus question for them as well as far as, you know, what were they reading when they, you know, first got into comics. But two answers in the same vein of what are you into? You know, do you like, you know, capes and cowls type of thing? You know, is a Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Captain America thing kind of for you? What's your preference, or is it maybe a Walking Dead or something a little bit beyond that even? Some of the books that I have that I haven't had a chance to read yet, I still have Volume 1 of Mind Management, Mind MGMT from Matt Kent, who's from St. Louis. I still have that I haven't read yet. I still have Mouse, M-A-U-S, that I haven't read yet. I've got a lot of stuff, folks, that I haven't read yet. But it's a little bit, you know, out there. Another one that I have that I enjoy the character, I enjoy the writing and the art, is Hellboy stuff, Mike Mignola. And so that's, you know, another place that you could start if you were into a little bit more of that dry, sarcastic. I can't read a Hellboy comic without hearing Ron Perlman's voice. It's just, it's not, you know, in my nature. He is Hellboy to me. And so I read the books as such, and I have such an appreciation of Mike Mignola. Of course, he wrote and did the art for Hellboy for a very long time, kind of his baby, so to speak, baby of the apocalypse. Yeah. So as for me, what I did was I kind of walked backwards into comics, but I just here we go. This is the story of the Green Lantern tattoo. See, because I've got friends who had Superman and Flash and, you know, Batman tattoos. And I didn't want a tattoo of a superhero that I didn't, you know, that everybody else already had. So I went kind of a different way with it. And I got the superhero tattoo, the Green Lantern tattoo, before I really had an appreciation of Green Lantern, the character. So, so like I said, I fell ass backwards into being a Green Lantern fan, but it's worked out pretty well for me. When I went to, this was years ago, this was probably 2007, I went to, I think it's Fantasy Books in Belleville, Illinois, and I said, hey, what do you got, you know, for a Green Lantern fan who hasn't read for a while? There you go. And next thing I know, I walk out with $75 or $80 worth of trade paperbacks. Most of all the Geoff Johns run that was out at that time. So from there, you know, is kind of on the shelf a bit. I'll tell you what, and there, I don't think there's anything wrong with this mentality or this practice of going about it, is if you want to wait, you know, if you're not sure, wait for Free Comic Book Day. You know, you can get some good stuff at Free Comic Book Day, and again, if you don't like it, maybe you don't like your there's a title you're on the fence about, you can, you know, get it free. Like, it wasn't for me. You're not on anything because it was free comic book day. It worked out really well for me with the Blackest Night Zero years ago. And I'm sure that you can find something out there as well. Free comic book day. Check it out online. I think they're already starting to put out some of the books that will be available this year. And again, you know, free comic book day, the free comics get you in the door, but throw a few shekels, you know, at the brick and mortar store as well, and they will be more than appreciative. So that kind of answers Mike and Toby's question. I say, you know, call me crazy, but I mean, unless you're going all the way back to the Silver Age, I don't think there's anything wrong, especially with the reboots. You know, you can jump on New 52 and kind of get the updated version of the story without having to, you know, get into, you know, art and wording and things like that of the classic times. Now, there's some great stuff in those classic books. Just depends on your preference. If you want, honestly, and this might catch a few laughs, but and I have not read this personally, so I don't know it for sure, but I've not heard a bad thing about it. New 52, Aquaman. Seriously, start with Aquaman, and it's from what I've been told, a pretty badass story. And like I said, it's on my list. I just haven't got there yet. But in all fairness, there's a lot of stuff I haven't got to yet. So I hope, Mike, that answers your question. We'll hear from Mike a little bit more down the road. Time to get a quick swig for the podcasting listener. Man, I don't know. I'm not stone cold, obviously. If I were stone cold, there's still a chance I wouldn't be recording this on my cell phone, even if I'm in my own home. So let's jump to Adam's question, or jump back to Adam's question. He says, how logically is someone supposed to get into or back into comics without worrying about extensive research into back history, as characters do change so often? And it's true. Doc Ock was Spider-Man for a little while. Captain America, I'm not reading Captain America currently, but yeah, the Falcon has been wearing the mantle. Thanks, Lucky. I've been sneezed on. Hey, you serve towels with your showers? Jackass. But the Falcon has been wearing the mantle, if you will, the Stars and Stripes of Captain America. Lots of Robins out there. My only advice as far as, you know, getting into comics or back into comics without worrying about extensive research, I would say find an artist that you like, because if you're not real familiar with comics, the writer's not going to mean a whole lot to you. So as you are, you know, standing there in your brick and mortar store, look, you know, just look at covers. Look, you know, find maybe a character that you're interested in. Flip through the pages. I'll tell you some great places to start. It's one of my favorite artists, and that's Alex Ross. So you can go with Marvel's, or on the which is obviously a Marvel title, or on the DC side, Kingdom Come, or Justice. Those are just some great. I like the collected works, unless I'm following a series, you know, picking it up from the beginning, which I've done recently with Moon Knight. I was reading Iron Fist, but kind of dropped out of it. Rocket Raccoon. These are all, I mean, pick it up, you know, at number one. If it's close, you can pick up at number four. And then if you like what you read in number four, one, two, and three are only going to be about $15 total. And that's, you know, from the back issue catalog. So check that out. Otherwise, get the collective works, trade paperbacks. Ask a friend who might be reading, who might let you borrow something, and you can go that route as well. That's one of my favorite things to do, even now, even at 32 years old, is to swap comics with some buddies of mine, and I'll ship out you know, a handful of books to my buddy Josh, and he'll send back eventually, maybe someday, some comics my way. It doesn't happen very often that I get a comic shipment from Josh because he's a jerk. I'm kidding, Josh, because I know you're listening. You got all kinds of options as far as where to start. And again, free comic book day, never bad way to go, as well as trade paperbacks, things like that. As far as the differences in the characters, Thor right now is a woman. And like I mentioned, Sam Wilson, Falcon, who is black, is being is Captain America currently. Kind of brings us into our next question from Jim Reinecke, who says, "What are your thoughts on the recharacterizations of superheroes to more racially diverse?" And again, that's the Captain America situation we're talking about. That's Miles Morales as Spider-Man, who is Puerto Rican. But I think it can even encompass, like we said, the gender diversity. And once again, talking about the female Thor, another racially diverse move, which we'll talk about, was the casting of Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm for the reboot of Fantastic Four. And even beyond just gender and race, but also orientation, we're seeing a bit more inclusion or diversity. And I use the word inclusion because I don't think inclusion is bad. Now, you might have your personal views. You know, like, I'm only going to read a Thor book with, a man as Thor or whatever. And everybody is entitled to their opinion, last I checked. But I don't think inclusion is bad, because it's going to eventually... you got to remember that when comics really began, when they were as popular... I say at their height of popularity, but back in, when... Batman and Superman, Spider-Man, and all these characters, these great characters now, these epic, legendary characters that we know of, you got to remember that society at the time was predominantly white male, so the fact that they are including, diversifying a little bit more to include society as it is today, to better mirror, today's readers, be it readers or not readers. I mean, they're getting headlines just for saying the Thor was a woman. The thing about Johnny Storm and Michael B. Jordan is, and I follow a lot of those Facebook pages, and discussions and things like that. There are a lot of people who are like, Johnny Storm can't be black because they're brother and sister, and Susan Storm is white. And I guess people don't ever... have never heard of adoption or stepbrother or half-brother or, anything. There's all different kinds of, scenarios that would make that kind of thing work. So, again, inclusion is... I don't have a single problem with it. And those aren't necessarily titles that I'll say this right now. I'm probably more excited for Fantastic Four reboot now than I was 2 months ago, just because I want to see what all the fuss is about. I want to see what's literally angering people online about this movie, aside from, well, Dr. Doom's just an angry blogger, and Johnny Storm's black and can't have that. And I know I'm purposefully changing the tone of my voice there to reflect a more, small-minded... whatever. But I'll go see it just because it's a comic book movie. We're living in a golden age of comic book movies, and I think it's important that you at least got to check it out and before you make any rash judgments, any harsh judgments in that accord. So, great question from Jim, and one that definitely makes you think. That one came in on December 23rd, and it was a question that I actually had hoped that someone much smarter than me, much more experienced in comic books, would be able to answer. Mr. Joe Field, who we had him on last year, part of the Free Comic Book Day conversation. He was the founder of Free Comic Book Day. Yeah, so I thought, we'll get him to answer that question. He's certainly been around the industry a lot longer than I have, and get his opinion. Just didn't work out with our schedules. We couldn't get connected. So I apologize, Jim. I really promise. I wanted someone much smarter than me to answer that question. Hopefully, I did it justice. So we shall. I guess we'll find out in the comments section. I don't know. I saw this floating around Facebook a couple weeks back, a couple days before Christmas, and I thought, you know, it's definitely something that I want to include in this conversation. There's a talk about a very outside chance that Disney, who of course owns Marvel, could acquire Warner Brothers DC, and in that case it might create one big super comic book universe. And I posed the question to myself just as a reminder to discuss it. Is that a good idea? Is that a bad idea? Do I want to see that? No, I don't want to see that, and I'll tell you why. If you've known me, and you probably, you know, on a personal level, haven't known me too long, I don't think. But back in the heyday, I use that word, I was a professional wrestling fan. Monday Night Wars, WWE, WCW, of course, it was back when it was WWF, WCW. And then, you know, you had two products, and yeah, they were both really strong for a while, and then WCW started to tail off, and that's a show for Kevin Huntsberger over at My 1-2-3 Cents here on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. But it's one of those things that the lack of competition would create kind of an apathetic tone. I'm pretty content with being number one, so I'm not going to try. And I'm not saying that just because Marvel, you know, or Disney-owned Marvel and DC, I think there's still enough competition inside the books themselves. You know, who's going to take in, what's going to be bigger this month, Batman or Spider-Man or Avengers or Justice League, you know, things like that. I just don't like the idea of having everything under the same umbrella. So do I want to see Disney acquire Warner DC? No, because I think competition breeds you know, some good things for the consumer. Plus, I imagine if Disney owned Marvel and DC, and they say, you know what, there's really no competition. Nobody's stopping us from making our issues $4.99. Holy cow, $4.99, and I already get six pulls. Now you're looking at $30 just for a month, and that's not even the extra stuff I see on the shelf when I walk into my comic book store. So, no, keep them separate. In fact, keep them as far away from each other as you can, which is why I also don't mind the stylistic differences between the two. When it comes to the cinematic universe, Marvel's been pretty light and, you know, have some fun words in there. Guardians of the Galaxy was pretty funny. Iron Man and Tony Stark, I mean, he's pretty lighthearted, ha ha ha. And then you got the DC stuff, and it's a little darker and a little grittier, and that's fine. I think there's plenty of room in the movie theater for both types. So, like I said, keep Marvel and DC just as far away from one another as you can. Derek Hernandez asked on December 27th. He actually asked this one, and this is a funny story, because Derek and I go back a little ways. But he's a Husker fan, just like I'm a Husker fan. And this was halftime of the Holiday Bowl between Nebraska and SoCal, Southern California, University of Southern California, the Trojans, the hated Trojans. And it got to be halftime. I said, take your questions, by the way, your comic book-related questions will be deferred to Nerds United, because it was on Twitter. And Derek asks, who is or was the best Green Lantern? Now, you know, of course I'm going to have an opinion on this, but my opinion is not nearly as important as this person.
Hey, this is Van Jensen. I'm the writer of Green Lantern Corps since issue 21 of the New 52. Also writing The Flash and Pinocchio Vampire Slayer, along with some other comics. And the question that I have had posed to me here today is, who is the greatest Green Lantern of all time? Which is really a doozy of a question, because you've got to be pretty exemplary to even be considered for service in the Corps. And, you know, Earth alone has produced a literal handful of great lanterns and worthy contenders, but I'm going to go a little bit far afield. The Lantern that I would say is the greatest, in my mind, is a fairly little-known character called Rotlop Fan. And Rotlop Fan is the most interesting Green Lantern to me, and the greatest in a lot of ways, because he's blind. And Rotlop Fan could not see color, and so he couldn't even conceptualize what the Green Lantern Corps was. He couldn't understand what a lantern was, because in his language there was no term to describe it. And he eventually did join the service of the Corps, but he joined it through his knowledge of sound. And so he sort of, you know, through the power of his thinking and also through his willpower, he sort of changed service in the Corps into what he thought it could be, and in a way that no other Lantern ever did. And it's just a really cool and powerful story, and one that has always stuck with me. So that's why, to me, the greatest Green Lantern of all time, I'm going to go with Rotlop Fan.
That's right. I got the Green Lantern Corps writer and Nebraska native Mr. Van Jensen himself to answer Derek's question. So, Derek, I hope you appreciated that. And I'll narrow the scope a little bit, because I have a feeling that Derek might have been inquiring as to who is or was the best Green Lantern from Earth. It's possible that he was meaning the entire scope of the history of the Green Lantern Corps. But I'm not going to. We had a nice alien answer from Van, so I'll narrow the scope a little bit. The thing about it is that all five of them, yes, five, if you remember, of course, Hal Jordan, Kyle Rayner, John Stewart, Guy Gardner, and Simon Baz from New 52. They all have their own merits, and they all have their own, you know, different. They come from different backgrounds, different walks of life. I think. And I'm going to see this is the thing. This is where I get a little torn up here. I like Hal Jordan for, you know, everything that he is and that, you know, kind of super cop type of mentality. But I love John Stewart for just the fact that he's so stable, reliable, and, you know, he'll always do what's best for the core. And there's some New 52, you know, I believe it's New 52. Might have been right at the end of you know, the pre-52 stuff, but spoiler alert, I think they were hung upside down, or they're being interrogated by a different pack of aliens, and this is a group of Green Lanterns, and they say, you know, what's the security passcode to enter into Oa, and one of them's about to give up that information, and John Stewart, again, spoiler alert, he snaps his neck. Protect the core, protect Oa, and he ended up actually going to trial and ended up in a cell for it, because nobody else really understood. So that's why I love John Stewart, because he'll make the tough decisions to, you know, he's not afraid of standing up for what he believes in. And for me, the other one is Kyle Rayner, and that's just because he's kind of like the golden boy, although in recent issues, and I'll be the first to admit that I'm behind on my Green Lantern reading, so I can't say that what I'm about to say is true. I say he's the golden boy, but he's cloaked in white. And by that I mean he is he's the Lantern of Light and of Life, and has on more than one occasion saved the entire universe. So definitely, I mean, it's pretty close three-way tie from those. So sorry, Derek, you're not going to get the clean answer from me. That's why I called in the expert Van. Couple more questions here, and oddly enough, they both come from Mike, who we heard from earlier in the episode. And on New Year's Eve, in the final rush, he asked, what is more popular, collecting comic books or reading comic books? And I really think for that answer, it depends on how much disposable income you have. If you are a collector, you're looking for, you know, Amazing Fantasy 15, which is the first appearance of Spider-Man, or Detective Comics 37, or Action Comics 1, then, yeah, I think collecting comics is more for you. If you're like me and you just love to read them, bag them, board them, put them in the box and save them for years, and because I think there are two different types of collecting. There's collecting with the intent that someday this $10,000 comic's going to be worth $11,000. And then there's collecting of, I just love having boxes full of comic books that I can take out and reread down the road, or share with kids down the road, or swap, or do whatever, or sell when I, you know, need to move and, you know, don't want to haul them with me, whatever. There's two different kinds of comic books. I think that mass appeal, probably you're going to see reading comic books is a bit more popular. However, if everybody had the money, everybody be collecting comics, and then of course the value would go down. If there are 10,000 Action Comic ones out there, then they're probably not going to be worth close to $1 million each. So, tough question. I hope I answered it to your satisfaction, Mike. And the final question we got also comes from Mike, and he asks, if I get struck by lightning, will I gain superpowers? Of course, Barry Allen, when struck by lightning, gained superpowers. But that was a comic book. That was fiction. And while I cannot guarantee that superpowers will not be in your future, I can probably say with a fair amount of certainty that perhaps a nth degree of burn, maybe possibly even death. I don't know. I say avoid lightning. I mean, I don't even know the chemicals that Barry Allen had around him that infused with the lightning to give him the ability to tap into the Speed Force. So I'm going to say, Mike, for your benefit, as well as my clean conscience, no. Do not go out looking for thunderstorms with the ability to gain superpowers. I just don't see, I don't see it working very well, and then I'll feel really bad. So, with that being said, we've got to get to my drawing. My dogs are trying to get back in the bedroom, and I've got to wrap this up. Otherwise, it's going to be a midnight night for me. So, the drawing, as I said, we got the names drawn at the beginning, and or before I started recording. My lovely assistant and wife, Ashley, was more than happy to help. So, three winners, and in third place is Derek, second place is Adam, and in first place is Mike. Gentlemen, you'll all be hearing from me, and we'll get you your choice of some DC action figures, and if none of those work for you, I guess we'll have to find something else. I don't know, comic books, something. We'll figure it out, but Mike, Adam, and Derek are my winners. That is Comics for Beginners. We're going to do it again next year, so have some more questions for me. This has been episode 33 of Nerds United, JitteryMonkey.com. We'll see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to JitteryMonkey.com.
Swig of good stuff for the podcast listener. Good stuff. Hey, everybody, real quick before we get out of here, I know you've already had a swig of the good stuff, but got a late response for one of the questions, so I wanted to throw it in here. If you've already listened to the podcast, well, I appreciate you getting it back and listening for this particular part, but you got to go back to Jim's question about the added or more inclusive diversity, you know, gender changes, racial changes, things like that, and I said when I initially recorded, which was true, I had not been able to get together with Mr. Joe Field from Flying Colors Comics over in the Bay Area. I said that at the time, and while that is the case, Mr. Field finally got back to me. We were able to hook up, so wanted to include his thoughts because he's been around the business for many years. So here is Joe Field. He is the owner of world-class Flying Colors Comics and the Free Comic Book Day founder. So here are his thoughts on the included or added diversity that we've seen here in comics in recent years. Thanks, and have a good one.
What are my thoughts on the recharacterizations of superheroes to becoming more racially diverse? Basically, what I look for is whether the change makes a good story. If the change makes a good story and readers are happy, then I'm a happy guy. If the concept go stale after a while. They'll find another way to bring back a male Thor. They'll find out a way to bring back Steve Rogers as Captain America. But for the time being, as long as the stories are good, and as long as it might show a different side to a character by putting someone different in a costume or changing up the story the way they have with these new introductions, then I think it's a good thing. The more diverse the market is, the better.